Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? And I'm beginning today a series on the armor of God. Have you ever heard of the armor of God? Sure you have. Are you wearing it? Did you put on each piece this morning? We're going to be talking about that in days to come, but I felt led of the Lord that as we enter into this series of looking at the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, I really felt that the Lord said that we need to cover why we need the armor. Have you ever told a child something that they needed to do and their very next question was, why? It's like we're all two-year-olds sometimes, amen? Why? Put on the armor of God. Why? First of all, because God said to, amen? And he leads up to this scripture in a wonderful way, telling us why we need to. He enters there in the scripture, and he tells us, finally, my brethren. And then he tells us something to do. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 12 and many other scriptures this morning as we begin looking at the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now that seems like a wrong phrase there sometimes, doesn't it? Because doesn't it seem like we battle and wrestle against flesh and blood? But look at what causes the battle with flesh and blood, he says. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And dear friends, all we can do is get started on this morning. I don't want to scare you to think that I'm going to preach to you for 4 hours, so I'm only going to do for three. And that'll give us a good introduction. You know, I'm going to cover a little bit because I do know that sometimes our bodies and our minds and our spirits can absorb only so much at a time. So we're going to look at this and we're going to look at what God is preparing our hearts to see in armor and why we need it. It's so appropriate for Paul to end the letter this way. Let's pray over it. Would you join me? We've been talking about prayer. God, lead us to prayer. Here we are. Father, your word has been put into our ears. We pray that we had ears to hear. Amen. And with ears to hear, hearts with obedience. Lord, help us to obey your word. Let it be real to our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? Again, it's appropriate for Paul to end the letter this way when he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know what he's saying here? If you go back and you read all of Ephesians, which I guess I could have called each family and said, hey, y'all read all of Ephesians before you get here today. But let me just recap it for you. What Paul is saying here is, if you're a true Christian, as defined in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, because it describes what a real child of God is, he says, and if you're living as a true Christian should live, which is described in chapters 4, chapter 5, and that first part of chapter 6, he says, then you can be absolutely certain, you can be absolutely sure that you're going to face the onslaught of the enemy. So he says, finally, that doesn't mean it's the first thing you go back and you look for one of those therefores, if you will. All these things need to happen with you. Know you're a true Christian. Obey these things of God. And then you need to be strong in the Lord. Because it is impossible to live as Ephesians aligns us to live without conflict from our enemy, without conflict from the devil. That's why the final thing you need to know is be strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God. Why? Because we're in spiritual warfare. That's why you need the armor of God. In this letter, Paul is saying that Christians are in a daily battle. Not just on Sunday morning. That's not the only time that you are convinced that maybe you don't feel up to going to church, or convinced that you could knock on somebody's door and share the gospel. That's not the only time that you struggled to love your wife as Christ loves the church. That's not the only time that you struggle to submit to your own husband, ladies. That's not the only time that you struggle to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Paul says it's a daily battle. In chapter 4, verse 1 through 17, he says, walk worthy of your calling with humility and unity. Wow, that's a whole sermon in itself. Verse 24, he says, we're to put on the new man, the one that's made by Christ, or the new woman. In chapter 5 through verse 17, he says, don't walk in lust, but walk in love. He says, don't walk in darkness, but walk in light. He says, you need to walk not in foolishness, but in wisdom. Verse 18 of chapter 5, he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Literally, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, he says, don't sing worldly songs, but sing spiritual songs. Maybe we need to retune the radios in our vehicles and in our hearts. In verse 21, he says, don't be proud. Let's go past that one real fast. That's a hard one, isn't it? He said, don't be individualistic, but submit yourselves to one another. Don't be about your agenda. Seek the agenda of God. In verse 23, he said, a wife should submit to her husband. And in verse 22, and in verse 23, he said, husband, you should love your wife as Christ loves his church. Then he gets into the first part of chapter 6, and he talks about the family. And he says, children, obey your parents. Boy, there's one that the world needs to hear even more today. And parents, love your children. And parents, nurture your children in the things of God. And employees and employers, you do be right by one another. Do what's right. So when all of this gets through, when he says all these things, he says, finally, my brethren, and he moves to his next statement. And that is that when we are obeying our biblical calling, when we are doing what we're supposed to do, but much more than that, when we are being what we're called to be, which is a child of God. One that when people see us, they see the character of God. When we're doing and being what we're supposed to, then we are confronting the world of Satan. This world, the scripture says, the God of this world, little g, God of this world, that's Satan, and the evil system that he has created. And when we do that, he's threatened. Why? Because Satan's system is hostile to God. Amen? And all who belong to God are hostile to him. He fights back with spiritual warfare against all who stand for God. He's not just battling against God. He knows he can't hurt God, so he's going to put his attention on God's children. He's going to attack you. Unfortunately, my friends, a lot of Christians are trying to win the world by being like the world. They said, oh, if we can just get along with them, if we can just be accepted by them, then maybe we can get the salt of God out to them. And because they're not confronting the world with truth, they are not in warfare, and they don't know about spiritual warfare, because why in the world would Satan battle somebody that appears to be on his side? But if you are doing and being, you need to be ready. That's what this is about. We need to be aware of Satan's attack. That's my first point this morning. We need to be aware of his attack. Many times through Scripture, we are warned of Satan's attack against you, against me. Now, let me just share a few with you. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Folks, that is spiritual warfare. First, you what? Submit to God, resist the devil. You got to try. You got to resist, and he'll flee from you. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. You knew that we would get to this verse today. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In other words, it says that he is attacking those who are resistant in the faith. Not resistance to the faith, but resistant in faith. So resist the devil and be aware of what he's doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 tells us to beware unless Satan should take advantage of us. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30 says this, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." Paul knew that wolves would attack from outside, and he knew that false teachers would attack from inside. He said, "You've got to be aware." He says, "There is no place you're safe. When you stand for God, Satan is going to be after you." And then look at verse 31. He says, "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now, what is he saying there? He said, part of my ministry is to warn the church, and I did it constantly for years. You see, when God blesses us, and when God uses us to battle evil, to share his truth, which is battling evil, Satan's going to come after us. Satan is going to aim at you specifically. You will be in his sights. So we must be ready, and that means to put on the armor of God. We're not quite ready to get to the armor of God. I want to share some things that the Lord's put on my heart with this, and that is this, that in the letters that our Lord Jesus Christ wrote to the churches. Now, you remember, John wrote them down, but who authored the letters written to the churches in Asia Minor? Jesus Christ did. He says, "Unto the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Philadelphia," all these different ones, he said, "unto them write this." And John just wrote it down. Jesus authored the letters. But in these letters written to the seven churches in Asia Minor, God shows us how Satan attacks the church. Now, I know that these were written to very specific churches, and yet as they were written to specific churches, they also represent the church as a whole, because our sin is everywhere. So God shows us how he attacks the church in Revelation 2 and chapter 3. And five of these churches needed some serious warning, you remember. Now, there's a progression in the warnings. And the first warning is given to a church that seems to have a small problem. But that doesn't just rest in that church. That problem begins to grow in the church and grow in the church, and then it begins to leak out and it goes to other churches and it begins to cause problems everywhere. And that first church we will look at is the church of Ephesus. So if you want to, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. The troubles of Revelation church, of the Ephesus church, sets the stage for the understanding of Satan's attack. That's why we start there, and that's why we're going there, because it sets the understanding of how Satan creeps in. So we're going to spend a little extra time today with that church, Ephesus. So look at Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to start with verses 1 through 6, and I'm going to read them out of order because they've got some subjects that we're going to break up here. So let me read Ephesus Church, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and verse 6. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Now remember, who is the author of this letter? Who's saying this? Jesus Christ. Who's writing it down? John. These things, says he, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works. Listen to this. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. He says in verse 6, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, it wasn't too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, I used this church as an illustration. That they were a mighty church. They were a strong church. So we see this commendation. There is a compliment here given by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you worked hard. You've endured difficulties. You hated sin. You stood against the sin while others were tolerating it. They dealt with false teachers. So they were working against the wolves that were from without and the wolves that were from within. They didn't allow bad teaching, and they did all of this for his name's sake, the scripture says. Now, what does that mean for his name's sake? They did it for the glory of God. They didn't do it to say, oh, look how good we are. Oh, look what a great church we are. Oh, look how good I am. You all should be like, no, it says that they did it for his name's sake. They were glorifying God. So they were a wonderful church and a great church doing what they should do for the right reason. But then the Lord has more to say. There's a condemnation as well as a commendation. The condemnation is found in verse 4. Look at verse 4. They were a great church, but look what he says in verse 4. He says, nevertheless, this is to the church at Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have what? Left your first love. You've left your first love. They were a grand church, but they had a fatal flaw. And that fatal flaw was that their love for God had died. It had run cold. They left their first love. Now, the church's definition of love didn't match God's definition of love. Their definition of love says, look what we're doing for you, Lord. See how good we are. Look how we are giving to you. Look how we are serving you. Look what we are doing to keep the church pure. Look how we are holding to your doctrine. They were serving, but they missed the very base requirement that God had given them and that Jesus repeated to Peter again and again. Listen to John chapter 21. Here's what Jesus told Peter. Do you remember after Jesus had died on the cross, after he resurrected, what had happened to Peter? He had run off and hidden with the other disciples because he had what? Denied Christ. And the Lord was trying to help Peter to be restored so that he could serve again and know what he needed to do. And so Jesus gave him instructions. Now listen to what he said. So when they met by the sea there, it says, so when they had breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. So what was his instruction to Peter? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. So he said, feed them and tend them. Listen, what he's saying is you just take care of every need that they've got. There's an assignment for you. And he said the third time, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Tend my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Listen, that's a lot of work. That's all that you need as far as an assignment to do in working for God. That covers everything. Tend my sheep and feed my sheep. But what was the question that Jesus asked before every task that he said, feed, tend, feed? What was the question that he asked of Peter? He said what? Peter, do you? He said, Peter, before you do anything to serve me, do you love me? Do you have a love in your heart for me? Do you care about me? Three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Why was that so important? Because nobody can be effective for God apart from loving him. Period. If you don't love God, your works are for nothing. They're shallow. They're hollow. People know when you're serving in love and when you're serving out of your pride of what you think you're doing. Don't they? You know. What did Jesus say the greatest commands were? Are you with me? He said, the greatest command, the first and foremost, is this. That you what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Whatever order you want to put it in. What was the second command? And to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. You cannot be effective for God apart from loving him and loving one another. That is how Satan got a foothold in this church. Are you seeing it? That's how Satan got a church that was great, that was serving, that was known, that was even starting other churches. That's how he got this church to go downhill fast. They had exchanged hot hearts for cold orthodoxy. They had exchanged love for works. They were doing lots of ministry, but they did it without love. Do you understand what our Lord is showing us here? The Ephesus church was one of the greatest churches in history. Maybe you've never heard of it except right here, but it was one of the first and greatest churches because they grew and they served and they fostered other churches and they were just doing a great ministry for the Father. But they had begun to do their ministries without a godly passion and without a love for each other. And they were just going through the motions, no enthusiasm, no love. Do you get it? Is it there? Do I need to start back at the top of the page? I think you've got it. You see, our first and true service for our Lord Jesus is that we are to love him. And we're to love one another. It's not what we do for him that he is most concerned about, because we already know that if we love God, we're going to serve him. Amen? It's not what's in your wallet that concerns the Father. It's your heart, because he knows that if your heart belongs to the Father, so does your billfold. True discipleship is based on what? How much we accomplish or how much we love. It is based on our love and our devotion to Christ Jesus, not on our works or even our adherence to a belief or creed. If we don't love God, it's all worthless. This is such a critical place for our self-examination that I felt that we must go here first, church, family, brothers, sisters. We've got to have a self-examination before we move forward in this. Do we love God? Do we love one another? Do we have the same love for God that we used to? Was there ever a time in your life that you loved God more? Think for just a moment. Was there ever a time that there was a time that you were more passionate for God, that you loved Him stronger with your heart, that you were more obedient to His call? And if that is true in your life, I can tell you this, then you have backslid from your love and affection. Do you prefer to do some kind of service for God rather than to actually have your heart right with God? That's what was happening with Ephesus. And if that's the case with you, then you've missed the purpose of the Christian life. If you've lost your passion and your love for Christ Jesus, He gives us the remedy in the following verses that we're going to see there in Revelation. So let's look now at verse 5. At verse 5, He talks to us about the commands. And He says in verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Now, what does He mean when He says lampstand? He says church. He says, "I'm going to remove the church. You'll be dispersed. You won't be anymore. Somebody else will have your opportunity." So we have the commands here, three commands: to remember, to repent, and to repeat. He says what? First, He said, remember from where you've fallen. Remember. Spiritual defection, dear friends, is usually a result of forgetfulness. We forget whom we serve. We forget what He's done. We forget that we are to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Have you forgotten what your life with Christ was like when you were new in Jesus, when you first came to Him? Can you remember the warmth? Can you remember the joy? Can you remember the exhilaration that you had when you first came to Him, when you couldn't wait to get to a neighbor's house and knock on their door and say, "I've got something to tell you. Woo, let me tell you, you got to come to church. Not because our pastor's so good, but He knows the man who is." Amen? He knows the one who really is good, who lived a perfect life. Because you see, He wasn't just a man. He was God in the flesh. Have you forgotten what it was like to have an excitement to share the Lord? And if you have, then you've lost your first love. If we have, we've lost our first love, and that is a falling away from God. And you must remember, the scripture says, you must remember from whence you have fallen. Let me read it again. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember. And then He said what? He said, remember from where you have fallen and repent. Now, there's a spiritual word for us. It's a spiritual word because repent involves a change of heart and mind. And it involves more than just saying, "Well, God, I'm sorry." That's not repenting. That's saying, "God, forgive me." That's not repenting. To say, "I'm sorry," is not repenting. To repent means literally that we turn away from our sin. That's what repent means. Abandoning sin's ways and sin's practice and turning back towards God, because you see, we've been facing the world and the devil's worldly system and getting involved in it instead of remembering our first love. And He says, remember where you used to be, and you go, that's not where I'm at. I need to turn and I need to come back to the Lord Jesus, and I need to seek His will and His way. That's what repentance means. And yes, it means to have a sorrow and a regret for our wrongdoing. If you've lost your love for God, you need to repent. And then he says, look with me, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from his place. He said, remember, repent, and do the first works. So repeat where you used to be. Get back to do the first works once again. If you're not serving God as you should, if you're not giving to God as you should, that's service. If your service is cold and mechanical, go back to where you started, where it's all done from a love of God, where you're not going, oh, God, do I have to do this? No, God, do I get to serve you today? Whatever it is, I'm ready. God, whatever it is, I want to. Get back to your knees in prayer. Get back to a desire to know God with all of your heart. Begin to witness. Begin to fellowship with other Christians. I'm so glad you're here today to hear this message. You've already got part of it licked, amen? You're here with God's people. You're here to hear the word. And you're here because God drew you here. And I'm going to tell you, you need to begin to praise God again like you used to. You need to love one another like you used to. Forgive one another like we used to. That's what God calls us to. He said, remember from whence you've fallen. Repent of your lack of love and get back to doing what you need to do. Nobody can do that for you. And nobody did it for the Ephesian church. Ephesus did not remember. They did not repent. And they did not repeat what God said to do. And so what he said in verse 5 did happen. In verse 5 it says, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The church at Ephesus died. It is no more. It was no more. It went out of existence because it what? Lost its first love. Now, there are six other churches here to cover. I'm not going to try to do that today, but what I do want to do is ask you, will you remember from whence you've fallen? Will you repent of any wrong and of a lack of love? And will you repeat what God calls you to do? God's word says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, examine yourselves, judge yourselves so that you would not have to be judged by him. Have we lost our first love? Has Grace Point Fellowship lost its first love? Do you love God with all your heart? Do you as an individual love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we as a church love him that way? I believe with all my heart that God put on my heart this reminder for me and for you. Will we remember and repent and repeat? Would you pray with me? Father, as always, we need your help. As always, we need your strength. As always, we need your Holy Spirit's light to be shined in our heart. And God, where we find that we have been amiss before you, would you help us to remember from whence we came? And Father, we pray that even right now, that as your Holy Spirit reminds us of the things in our life that need to be changed, that we would repent and that we would return to you, Father. Return to your love and your care and your service in such a manner that Satan would have to take attention because we're working against him. And Lord, we realize that by doing that, that we're going to bring attention to ourselves in that manner before Satan, and he is going to attack. And then, Lord, we're going to need all the more the armor that you've given us to put on. So, Lord, we ask for your help. Light our fires again, Lord. We need you. With your heads bowed, would you take this opportunity to pray? Whatever God has laid on your heart and you need to make right with him, you can do that from the altar of your heart where you sit. Or if you'd like, someone can pray with you and for you. You can come to this altar or find a prayer partner at the sides in just a moment. But if God has placed something on your heart, would you take care of it first right where you are? And I'm going to ask in stillness and quiet as our instruments begin to play, would you pray? Seek the Father's heart. Pray. You pray. Would our prayer partners go to the aisles, to the sides? And if you need someone to pray with you, they'll be there. This altar is here for you to pray. If God has placed on your heart any decision that you need to make today, would you come? Would you stand with me? Stand with us as we seek the heart of the Father in prayer and in song, make it your prayer. This is a good prayer song.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfectly a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his hand. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace, one with himself I righteous with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. One with himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Sing this out.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came to this earth, that he lived his perfect life, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that he rose again so that he might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that he is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer, invite him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from you. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank you, Father, that he rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask you to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in you alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.